Our Father, we thank you for the Bible study tonight. Thank you for your people. Thank you for everything that you've done for us. And as the year is running to a close, we know that your hand will continue to be with us. Your protection will be upon your people. And we pray, Lord, we'll never hear any bad thing, any evil thing concerning one of us in Jesus' name. That, Lord, until the end of this year, your blessing will flow into our lives. I will pray that we enter the new year with the great, gracious, and glorious blessings of the Lord in Jesus' name. I will pray, Lord, every day that we live, we'll let our light shine. We'll let our life live to the glory of God in Jesus' name. We pray as your people come together today, you open eyes to see, to understand what you want for us, our lives. We'll bring glory to you all the days of our lives in Jesus' name. We thank you because we know you have answered. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you. We can sit down. As we come to the final Bible study of this year, we're looking at Matthew chapter 5 and we're looking at verse 16. These are the very words of the Lord Jesus Christ. As you know, this is part of that sermon on the mount. And the Lord has spoken about the Beatitudes. That is, the Beatitudes, the things that makes the life of the believer beautiful. And he tells us from the very beginning of the message, he talks about the people that are blessed, the people who are favored, and the people who are honored, the beloved of the Lord, and the people that have the great blessings of the Lord upon their lives. Here is the way he tells us. He says in verse 3, blessed are the poor in spirit. Those are the people that recognize the poverty of spirit. And they know that they don't have anything to pay for the spiritual blessing, eternal blessing, abundant blessing, and the Calvary benefits the Lord has brought for us. That it is all free, and it is by the grace of God. Because we are so poor, we cannot pay for salvation. That's why it says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And then it says, blessed are the people that mourn, not the people that laugh. In fact, Jesus said in Luke, woe to them that laugh, because they're going to weep for all eternity. Blessed are the people that mourn. That is, they recognize their shortcoming, they don't laugh about it. They recognize their sin, they don't laugh about it. They recognize their kind of going back, backsliding, they don't laugh about that. They mourn, they cry before the Lord. They fall on their faces before the Lord. And because of that, it says, they'll be comforted. They'll be comforted with the mercy of God, with the love of God, with the forgiveness of God. They'll be comforted with the assurance that their sins are forgiven. Then it says, blessed are the meek, the lowly, because Jesus Christ himself, our Lord and Savior, he said, I am meek and lowly. And when you follow that meek and lowly a Messiah, Christ of Calvary, it will rub on you. That same lowliness and that same meekness will be in your life. There will be no pride, there will be no haughtiness, there will be no puffing up, and there will be no jumping on other people and proving that you are better than other people. You carry yourself in such a meek and humble and lowly manner if the grace of God has come upon your life. And it says those people are they that will inherit the earth. And then in verse 6, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. Hungry and thirsting after righteousness. And you know, Jesus Christ, when he was invited to a particular meal in the house of a Pharisee, he saw how the people are taking the greatest seat and the highest seat, because all that those religious people wanted was recognition and the praise of men and honor. And so he told them, when you're invited to a place, take the lowly place and take the humble place, because it is that will be blessed of the Lord. Then it says over here, the people that hunger and thirst, not after position, not after recognition, and not after power, not after authority, they thirst and they hunger after righteousness. Then it says, they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. At that time, the Israelites were under the Roman government. And the soldiers of the Roman government, they were very, very brutal and cruel. Not only that, the tax collectors, the publicans were cruel and brutal. And the people were likely to take to the attitude and the behavior of those soldiers and publicans. Said, don't do that. Come back and live a life of mercy. And then when you live that life of mercy, it says, then you will obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Preparing the people for heaven, he said, you need this indispensable quality, this indispensable characteristic, this indispensable virtue in your life. Purity, holiness, sanctification, that holiness of life and heart and behavior and character and conduct that will make the way for us to see God in heaven. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Those are the people, they are pure in the private and they are pure in the public. Their purity is not hypocritical. Their purity is not make-believe. Their purity is not superficial. It's very deep in their heart, because man looks on the outward part, but God looks on the heart, on the inward side. That's why it says, blessed and favored and exalted and honored are the people that are pure in heart, for they shall see God. Then it says, blessed are the peacemakers, not the troublemakers, not the people that scatter, not the people that fight, not the violent people, and not the people that wherever there is peace, they want to bring the fire of conflict and division there. No, it says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. And blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, not persecuted for, you know, taking another man's wife, not persecuted because you take another man's job or position, not persecuted because you're a busybody, prognosis to the affairs of other people, but blessed are the persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you, persecute you, and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted them the prophets that were before you. That when you are persecuted like that as a believer, you are taking your place and you are taking your seat beside the prophets, faithful prophets and good prophets of old, because they persecuted them. Now they've got their reward. And the Lord is saying, if you endure persecution, and you endure meekly and humbly without fighting back and without speaking back, that your reward is going to be great in heaven. After he told them that, he now said, here is the consequence of everything. Everything that you have had, go show it that you have that light in you, that light in your heart and that light in your behavior. And you go into the world and let your light shine forth. And let your life be beautiful. Let it demonstrate and reveal the beatitudes I've been revealing to you. That's why it says in verse 16, let your light so shine before men. You know, it says that you are a Christian, let your own light shine. I'm a Christian, I let my own light shine. She is a Christian, let her own light shine. You know what that is saying? Don't worry about the other people. Just take care of your own light. Your own light. Let your light shine. You know, there are many other people that are taking care of the lights of other people. And they are, you know, after other people and pushing other people and pressurizing other people. Hey, shine, shine, shine. He says, don't worry about them. Don't worry about other people. Just think about yourself. Are you born again? Concentrate on your own personal life. And don't think that you are the one to correct the whole world. You are the one to beautify the whole world. And you are the one to make every other person in the world sit right and stand right and do this right. Just concentrate on yourself and let your light so shine that men may see your good works. Other people, they are concerned about the good works of other people. Why don't you stand up and shape up and do good work and do this and that? They never think about themselves. They want other people to be humble. They are not humble themselves. They want other people to be holy. They are not holy themselves. They want other people to shine. They are not shining themselves. They want other people to do well. They are not doing well themselves. It says, take care about your life, take care about your light, and take care about the things within, and let your light so shine that men may see. If they don't see, it's not shining enough. You cannot say, well, my light is shining, but those people, you know, they are not seeing because they don't want to see. Let them see that men may see your good works, not your bad works, not your careless works, not your evil works, and not your sinful works, your good works. And then the result will be they glorify your Father who is in heaven. I pray our lights will shine. And as our lights shine, they'll glorify our Father who is in heaven in Jesus' name. This is the message that the Lord Jesus Christ gave to all the people that were following him at that time. And Jesus Christ still the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's still giving us the same message. And he's calling upon us that now that you know the highway to the promised land, and you know the steps to take us there, and already you have prayed and you say, Lord, I need that salvation. Lord, I want that separation. Lord, I need that self-denial. Lord, I need that submission to you. Lord, I need that sanctification. Now you have prayed all right, and you prayed everything in, and the grace of God has come upon your life with the spirit baptism, and then the soul winning, and the stewardship, and the service the Lord has called you to. And you don't forget the consecrations you made. You do not forget the conviction the Lord planted in your heart, and say, Lord, here is the time now to make practical everything we learned in our services, in our Bible studies, in our retreats, in this year that is closing now. It says everything that you have learned. Here is what now what you do about what you have learned. You will let your light so shine, the light of salvation. Let it shine. And the light of separation from darkness and separation from sin, let it shine. The light of submission to the will of God, let it shine. And the light of self-denial, that you are denying yourself, you are not indulging yourself, you put your body under, you bring it to subjection, lest after you preach and witness to other people, you become a castaway. Let that light of self-denial shine. Let the light of sanctification, the light of the holiness that God plants within us, let it shine. And the light of the Spirit, the oil of the Spirit in your life, now you want that light to shine. And the light of soul winning, going out, going into all the world and preaching the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And he says, that light of soul winning, keep it on, let it keep on shining. And your stewardship and your service to the Lord, let the light shine. I pray that our lights will shine in Jesus' name. As we look at this study, we're divided into three parts. Number one, living for Christ before men for God's glory. Living for Christ before men for God's glory, not for man's glory, not for self-glory, but for God's glory. Number two, laboring in Christ's ministry for God's glory. Laboring in Christ's ministry. You are living, you are also laboring. And then number three, likeness to Christ's model. He came to shine forth as light. He said, I'm the light of the world. He showed us the model already, how the light ought to shine, how it ought to beam across to the whole world. That is the light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. And he said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth after me will not walk in darkness. He says, then we're to live our lives like unto Christ, likeness to Christ, model of glorifying God. I pray you will do it. The grace of God will help you to do it. And you'll do it successfully in Jesus' name. Now I need a good amen there. Amen. You know already, you've been coming to Bible study from the beginning of the year. I don't like my Bible study students to sleep on me. I want you to be awake, and I thank God you're already awake. We're looking at Matthew chapter 5 verse 16, living for Christ before men for God's glory. Matthew chapter 5, we're looking at verse 16, let your light, your own light, let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. By the way, when you become a child of God, you turn from darkness unto light. And then you receive the light of Jesus Christ, the light of his gospel, the light of his grace, the light of his godliness, and the light of glory begins to shine in your heart. And he says, see it, it is there now, let it shine, bring it forth. In fact, it says it's going to be shining more and more until that final perfect day. Look at Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4, I'm reading from verse 18. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 18. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. More and more. That means that when you get saved, the light begins to shine. And then you move on, you are sanctified, it shines brighter. Then you move on, you are baptized in the Holy Ghost, and it shines brighter and brighter. And as you keep on following the Lord, fellowship with the people of God, worshiping the Lord, and learning more and knowing more in the Word of God, it shines more and more and more. Then you get involved in the work of the Lord, you become a worker, then you become a leader, then you become a preacher, you become a pastor, you become an overseer. It shines more and more and more. But you know, there are some people, they don't understand. The older they get in the household of faith, the dimmer their light becomes. And the more of the Bible they read, the more of the Bible they know, the dimmer their lights become. But it says, no, let it shine more and more until the perfect day, brighter and brighter until the perfect day, so that it can give light to the people all around you. Luke chapter 11, I'm reading from verse 36. Luke chapter 11, verse 36. If the whole body therefore be full of light, having no part dark, the whole shall be full of light. Then it says, as when the bright shining of a candle doth give thee light. As when the bright shining of a candle doth give thee light. That when the word of God gets, after all, the word of God is light in your pathway. And the more of that word of God you know, the more of that word of God you learn, the more of that word of God you pray in and then demonstrate in your life, the more that life will become like a shining candle that will be giving light to everybody around you. We have an example in John the Baptist. In John chapter 5, verses 33 through to 35. John chapter 5. I'm reading from verse 33 to verse 35. He sent unto John, and he bear witness unto the truth. But I receive not testimony from man, but these things I say, that she might be saved. He was a burning and a shining light. He was a burning and a shining light. I pray that same thing will come upon you. That your light will shine, your light will burn, a burning and a shining light. And ye were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. You see, when people are born again those days, the very first action and the very first demonstration in the public made people to know that these people, they came out of darkness and they came into the light. That things were different in their lives and things totally changed. They demonstrated it in the public. They were not just secret disciples and hidden disciples, hiding their lights, hiding their lamp. No, they brought everything out so that people will see the change that God had made in their lives. It's just like us now. We just came back from this great, wonderful retreat where the Lord showed us the highway to the promised land. And then we learned a lot of things and we studied a lot of things and we prayed through and we got great, great experiences. As we come back home and we come back to the church, the decisions we took, everybody should see it. We should demonstrate it in the public. It should not be like, well, I don't want anybody to see my decision or my conviction. I don't want anybody to know that now things are different. They must see. They must see. That's exactly what Jesus said. Look at these people, the way they did it. Acts of the Apostles chapter 19. Acts chapter 19. I'm reading from verse 18. If things are not different, how do we know the light is there? If you cannot demonstrate it, the change, that you're different today than you were last Monday or last week or last month or last year, how will we know that the light has come to you? It is the difference that makes us to know you are being to the Mount of Transfiguration and something definite is taking place in your heart. I pray we'll see it in Jesus' name. I said we'll see it in Jesus' name. Acts chapter 19, I'm reading from verse 18 and verse 19. And many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. Three verbs there. They came. Did not wait for the people to come to them, to ask them, did you go somewhere? Did something happen to you? Did you meet somebody they called Jesus? No. They themselves came. You will go to people. You'll let them know something happened to me. Jesus came into my heart. What joy now floods my soul. And what change has taken place in my life. You're no more the frowning man. You're the smiling man. You're no more the angry woman. You're now the peaceful woman. Something has happened on the inside of you. You're no more the fighting boy or the fighting girl. You're not the peacemaker that is saying something has happened. They came to them. They confessed their deeds. You know what I was doing before? You know the way I was before? You know where I was living before? You know the dirty things I used to do. And then they showed their deeds. They now showed that things were different. I pray to be so with you and with me. Then it says in verse 19, many of them, not only a few. It's not the beauty of the Christian life that it's not just an isolated conversion. One person there, one other person there, many people, many of them that used curious arts brought their books together. And they did what? Tell me out loud. Did they lend those books to backsliders? Did they lend them to the unbelievers? Did they sell them to other people? No, they said this is poisonous. This is satanic. This is evil. And now that we are born again, we're not going to use them anymore. That's one. And we cannot lend them to other people, give them to other people. We don't want anybody to get to hell through us. You don't want anybody to perish through you. If something is not good for you, then it's not good for them. If something is poisonous for you, then it's poisonous for them. That's the light shining. You count the cost and say, I don't care how much money I lose. I'm not going to sell poison. I'm not going to sell any evil thing. I'm going to burn them and destroy them. Many of them also, which use curious arts, brought their books together and they burnt them before all men. Before who? Again? Isn't that what Jesus said? Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. They burnt them before all men and they counted the price of them and found it. Tell me about the price. Again. Well, what are you willing to give up to keep your salvation? What are you willing to sacrifice to keep your salvation? Look at these people. All those books costing 50,000 pieces of silver. They lost everything deliberately, intentionally, voluntarily, on their own, because they wanted to keep their salvation. What are you willing to lose? A boyfriend? A girlfriend? A sin partner? An evil book? A magical book? What are you willing to lose? That this salvation of God is so precious. And this glory that I feel within my soul is so precious. And I'm not going to allow anything to keep it away from me. My light will shine at all costs. And you're willing to give up anything and everything. A bad habit. Packs of cigarettes. Bottles of beer. What are you willing to give up? Did you make sin that they made for you before? And then you are using that in secret. Are you willing to give that up? That now that you are born again, I'm saved, I'm a child of God. The light of God is shining within me. And it doesn't matter what the cost may be. A student certificate, whatever it is, you count the cost and you say, I'm not going to continue using that thing. I'm not going to continue just benefiting from that thing. I'm going to read that again. Let's look at it. Verse 19, many of them also, which use curious arts, brought their books together and burnt them. You know, there are some people that have some clothes that, you know, it's an eyesore, abomination. When you see those clothes of them, and then they say, now they are born again, what are you willing to give up? The sin that she used to bring temptation to other people, making other people fall, and making them to look at you as if you are, you know, another kind of lady. Are you willing to give that up? And they just bonds them, and they didn't mind the cost at all. They said, this, all right, because what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? What shall man give in exchange for his soul? That's why they bonds them before all men. They didn't even care that those men will say, you are mad. Something is wrong with you. Looks like you're not correct again upstairs. Why are you burning those things? They did it before men. They say, I don't care what they say. I don't care how they jest. I don't care how they make fun of me. I don't care about the ridicule, about the reproach. I'm going to obey my Lord. I'm going to let my light shine. Your light will shine. And he counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. And let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the light shining, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and we're reading from verse 6, 2 Corinthians 4, 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. It is God that has made that light to shine within us. And now we must let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine everywhere. That's how you keep your salvation. That's how you keep your sanctification. That's how you keep the power, the privilege the Lord has given you. That's how you will keep your stewardship. That's how you'll keep your service. That's how all the good things the Lord has given to you. That's how you'll keep everything. Letting your light shine. Letting your light shine. The wife before the husband. Let your light shine. The husband before the wife. Let your light shine. The children, they just came to know the Lord. Young people, youths, they just came to know the Lord. And they used to, your parents, you know, used to say, sit down here, do your work, look at this and look at that. And you used to rebel, and they almost, you know, fight your father and fight your mother, but not the light of gentleness and the light of peacemaking and the light of humility and the light of honoring your father and your mother, and everything is not peaceful at home. And then your parents are giving glory to God that you went to that retreat and that your life has now changed, because the light of God, the light of the gospel, the light of godliness is now shining within your heart. I pray it will shine brighter and brighter. I said it will shine brighter and brighter. In Philippians chapter 2, I'm reading from verse 14. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. You know, before the light came, we used to murmur a lot. And we used to dispute a lot, debate a lot, and argue a lot. It says, now let your light shine. And let us see that light of patience in your life. And the light of quietness. Let quietness have its perfect work. And let patience have its perfect work. Let humility have its perfect work. And let perseverance have its perfect work. Let us see that you are patient today, more patient today than you were yesterday. Let us see that you are more quiet today than yesterday. Let us see the grace of God, graciousness in your life today than we saw yesterday, and do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. In the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, in the midst of an occultic society, in the midst of a violent society, that you are different, that you don't borrow, you don't have the characteristics of the world around you, that you are the exact opposite. They are quarrelsome, you are peaceful. They are in the dark, you are in the light. They are bitter, you are sweet. They are troublemakers, but you are a peacemaker. That in the midst of a crooked world, a perverse world, you shine as lights in the world. In verse 16, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. I pray it will happen. It has happened already. And then we'll see the happening upon your life and our lives all together in Jesus' name. spirit number two, laboring in Christ's ministry for God's glory. Laboring in Christ's ministry for God's glory. We're reading again from Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. We're looking at verse 16. Matthew 5, verse 16. In verse 16, let your light so shine. You know that word, let? Let your light so shine. You know, it's like when somebody wants to do something and you're holding him. And he says, let me alone. Let me go. Let me stand. Let me move. Let me run. That means you're stopping him. You're hindering him. You're holding him. You're disturbing him. And you're wrapping him or tying him down. He says, let me do it. Let me go on. Let me move on. And he says, let your light. It means the light is there already. But you have been holding it down, covering it up. The oil of grace is there. The oil of the Spirit is there. It says, remove the covering and remove the hindrance and remove the limitation and let it shine. Let your light so shine. The Spirit of God is within you because you are born again. The Spirit of Christ is the Spirit of gentleness and the Spirit of meekness and the Spirit of humility, the Spirit of obedience is inside you. You are the one that, you know, you are deliberately covering it up. And Jesus said, let it, let your light so shine that men may see your good works, and then they'll glorify your Father who is in heaven. What did he say they will see? I said, what did he say they will see? That men may see your, tell me out loud, tell me once again, you can do better than that. Your good works, let's say that now. When you are born again, bad works go, evil works go, and good works will come. You have the good works. Let us see it, we're going to see it. You know, as I look at you, I see those good works already, because the grace of God is upon your life. You're born again, and you're saved, you're sanctified, the power of God, the Spirit of God is upon your life. We're seeing it already, I pray we're going to see more. Ephesians chapter 2, I'm reading from verse 8. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Created unto Christ, unto good works, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works. We're recreated, we're refashioned, we're remodeled, and we're reformed, and we're refined. Why? So that we can manifest good works. In fact, it says, the reason why the scriptures were given to us, and the reason why we study the Bible, is so that the study of the Bible, the reading of the Bible, the learning of the Bible, the praying on the Bible, and the soaking in of the Word of God, is so that it will produce good works in us. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, I'm reading from verse 16. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. All scripture, how many scriptures? How many? All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Listen to this. So that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. That's the reason we have the scriptures. All scripture is given. That's the reason we have doctrine, so we can have good works. That's the reason we have rebuke or correction, so we can have good works. That's the reason we have instruction in righteousness, so that we can have good works. I pity those people who just study the Bible, but they don't understand. The study of the Bible is to give us good works. I pity the people that say, I believe. And then we cannot see the evidence of believing in them. The reason we believe is so that we can see those good works that the Lord himself has produced in our lives. We're looking at 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. I'm reading from verse 19. 2 Timothy chapter 2, we're looking at verse 19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. I pray he will know you. He knows you. He knows you that you belong to him. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ do what? Depart from iniquity. Depart from evil works. Depart from careless works. Depart from carnal works. And depart from sinful things. Then it says in verse 20, but in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. You will be to honor. In verse 21, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use. And now you are going to read the rest of that verse. And prepared unto every good work. I see you are prepared. And I see that you are ready. Anything good to be done, just go ahead and do it. God will reward you. Any good thing to be said, go ahead and say it. God will reward you. Because this coming year is a year of blessing. It's a year of breakthrough. And therefore, you know, the more you do of the will of God, of everything you have learned, and say, I'm for good works, then God says, you're also for my goodness. The goodness of the Lord will never fail your life in Jesus' name. We're looking at Titus chapter 2. We're looking at verses 7 and 8. Titus chapter 2, verses 7 and 8. In all things, showing thyself. Don't hide yourself. Show yourself. Show yourself. You know, some people are in the church, and then I'm seeing them for the first time, and I'm saying, are you a member of the church? Pastor, I am. And I say, how long have you been in the church? I've been in the church for 12 years. And I said, I've never seen you. You know, Pastor, I don't like being seen. I don't like to show myself. I like to stay in a corner. I don't like sitting in the front seat for anybody to see me. That's why you have not seen me all these 12 years. Well, things are changing now. I said, things are changing now. Come from the back row and come to the front and let your pastor see you. After all, you have the grace of God and your face is beautiful. Am I right? And your life is beautiful. Is that right? And you are not a secret Absalom. Am I right? You are a real child of God. If you are a child of God, why are you ashamed? Why don't you say, I'm going to show a good pattern of good works. I pray that your coordinators will see you. Your group coordinators will see you. Your pastors and overseers will see you. And if there's something to be done and they don't know that you can do it, come out and say, Pastor, I can do it. Overseer, I can do it. I can do this, I can do this, I can do that. Good works. I want to do good works so that the good work you're doing, you'll be rewarded mightily, because I'm believing that this coming year, overflowing blessing will come upon you. And if it's going to come, you cannot be hiding yourself. Can you think of a person having a car and hiding himself, and he never drives the car, and then will say, do you have a car? Yes, I have. I never see you drive. Oh, no, I don't want anybody to know that I have a car. Can't think about anybody having a house and he doesn't live there. Why don't you live in your house? I don't want anybody to know that I have a house. You don't want to enjoy your blessing? I will enjoy my blessing. God will pour it on you in Jesus' name. You have talent. Show it. You have gift. Bring it out. You have strength. Bring it out. And come to the front line and let us see you do good with that talent. And do good with that ability. And show a pattern and be a pattern of good works in our districts and our groups and our regions and states and nations. They're looking for somebody to do this and somebody to do that and somebody to do that. And you can do it. Come out and say, I'm going to show that I'm a pattern of good works, and your leaders will tell me good stories about you. Look at verse 7 again. In all things, not only in some things, in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech, that cannot be condemned, that he that is of contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Nobody will be able to say any evil thing about you. Because this coming year is a glorious, glorious year. In Titus chapter 3, verse 8. Titus chapter 3, we're looking at verse 8. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all, and it is this a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain what? Again, there's something we call maintenance. There's some people, they have a car, they don't maintain it, it will run down. There's some people, they have houses, they don't maintain the houses, it will run down. There are people that have some machinery that is working in the factory. If they don't maintain it, it will break down. There are some people that maintain good, that have good works, but they don't maintain it. They don't keep it on and on and on. Didn't you hear? Practice makes perfection. As you do it and do it and do it, that's how you maintain it. You're doing good works on Monday, good works on Tuesday, and find something to do on Wednesday, and find a life to bless on Thursday, and find something to do on Friday, and of course on Sunday, or the sunny day and the bright day, find something good to do, and the Lord will make you maintain that good work in Jesus' name. It's on your outline there. It says, do all the good you can. All the good you can. Don't slow down. Don't pull back. Don't limit yourself. Do all the good you can. By all the means you can. With all the methods you have, do all the good you can. By all the means you can. In all the ways you can. And in all the places you can. Don't say, well, I don't know about this place. I don't want them to, you know, focus on me and be looking at me as if I'm counting myself special. But in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as ever you can. If you do that, I believe that your reward will not be lost in Jesus' name. Point number three now. Point number three. We're looking at likeness to Christ's model. Likeness to Christ's model of glorifying God. We're looking at Matthew again. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 5 rather. Matthew chapter 5. We're reading from verse 16. Matthew chapter 5. We're looking at verse 16. In Matthew chapter 5 verse 16 it says, let your light so shine. So shine. You know, we say that man so ran. He outran everybody. We said that lady so what? She walked beyond everybody. And we say that athlete so ran that she became first. The word so is to bring a superlative into it. Is to bring an extra effort into it. And it says, you can't say, well, my light has always been shining. I thank the Lord since I became born again. I've been shining. Even the people in my place of work, they call me pastor. The people in my place of work, they call me Virgin Mary. Because they know that my light is shining. Yes, but put the so into it. That this coming year, it will so shine. Yeah. And then people will say, but you're totally different now. The way you shine, and the way you talk, and the way you look, and the way you act, and the way you relate with people, things are different now. Yes, you say, I brought a little word into it. So, everybody say, so. Say it well. So. That your light will so shine that men will see your good works. They'll glorify your Father who is in heaven. They'll glorify God. Glorify your Father who is in heaven. What does that mean to glorify? How do we glorify our Father? How do we glorify God? Because that's what Jesus is saying, that what you are doing this coming year from today until the end of next, and then the end of your life, that your light will so shine so that men will see your good works and they will do what? They will do what? Glorify. Let me spell that word glorify for you. G-L-O-R-I-F-Y. What does that mean? Number one, be godly. G means you are godly. You are godly. In Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. We're reading verses 11 and 12. Titus chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. Godly, godly, ungodly. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and what? Godly in this present world. That's how to glorify God. That's how men, what men will see, that you are not godless, you are not ungodly, you don't practice evil or sin with them, you are godly. A godly person will glorify God. L, loving. Let your life be loving. Let your life be loving. Because it is that kind of love that makes people to see and they will spot you out. The world is filled with bitterness. And when somebody comes and is sweet, they will notice him. The world is filled with hatred. And when somebody is loving, they will notice him. The world is filled with violence, fighting, pushing down other people, competition. And when somebody comes and is totally different and loving, everybody will notice. And they'll glorify your Father who is in heaven. Ephesians chapter 5, I'm reading from verse 1. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love. And walk in love as Christ also has loved us and has given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. You are godly. You are loving. Oh, you are obedient. Obedient to the word of the Lord. And you don't say, well, that's a small thing, I don't think I need to be obedient in that. You're obedient in a small thing and also in a big thing. You know, some people that say small thing, don't you know that a small hole in a bucket can make all the water to leak out? Don't you know, if somebody will take a little pin and bend that little pin, then you see it, hurt you. And then you cry, say, hey, you're hurting me. I say, but it's a little pin now. Don't you know, that little pin can puncture your heart and puncture your stomach and your lungs. Little pin. How would you say? A little poison. Somebody gives you a cup of water to drink and then he puts just a drop of one liquid. You say, what's that? Don't worry now. It's just a little poison. Take and drink. Will you drink? But it's a little poison now. Little sin. You're not practicing little sin. You know some people that's a little sin, a little evil, a little bad character, a little lie, a little fighting, a little, nothing little, that will be obedient to God in all things. Look at Romans chapter 15, Romans chapter 15, verse 18. For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ has not wrought by me to make the Gentiles obedient. Make the Gentiles obedient by word and by deed. To glorify God is to be godly, is to be loving, is to be obedient, is to be renewed. R to be renewed. We're looking at Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present yourselves a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's how to glorify God. When your mind is renewed, your heart is renewed, your habit is renewed, everything is new, then you go into the new year with a new life, a new mind, a new spirit, a new soul, and a new vision, a new focus, a new desire, a new behavior that glorifies God. And then it says in that chapter 12, verse 2, that she may prove what is that good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. Glorify. G means what? And L means what? O means what? And R means what? I is to be incorruptible. 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 You know, a person like that, that nothing can corrupt. Nothing will corrupt. That person, he will be like, he'll glorify God. What does that mean, incorruptible? Let's say, for example, the place you are living, and you don't have any other place to live, there is a kind of dirty surrounding there. It's a place where, you know, ladies go in, they come out, and you know the way they dress, they come in, they go out, but you know, all those things will not corrupt you. They are just incorruptible. at the place you live, you know, in the night, they'll be drinking, and then you are hearing the sound of their cup and the side of their tumblers and everything, but it never comes to your mind to come out and go and drink with them because you're incorruptible. In the place you're living, there is a gang of people around there. And those people, they make noise. You know the kind of noise they make. They are occultic. And when they begin to make noise and they're wild and begin to cut themselves, and sometimes they even begin to do some things that will make community afraid. And some people will say, if you want to be tough and you want to be a guy and you ought to be bold, join them. And then you drink something with them. When you drink that thing, you'll forget about. You'll not be afraid of death. You don't care for anything. You say, no, I cannot do that. Why? I want to glorify God. What does it mean to glorify God? I must be incorruptible. Society must not corrupt me. And the behaviors of people must not corrupt me. The examples of people will not corrupt me. I will get there, go through, and I will remain pure and holy. You remain pure and holy. Look at 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 4. 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 4. Never to be corrupted, not to be corrupted, incorruptible. But let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible. That which is not corruptible. Even the ornament, the beauty, and of a meek and quiet spirit, which in the sight of God is of great, great price. And then to glorify God, F is to be faithful. F is to be faithful. You'll be faithful. I said you'll be faithful. In Luke chapter 16, I'm reading from verse 10. Luke chapter 16, verse 10. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in that which is much. Are we listening? I said, are we listening? You know, there are some people that say that's a little thing. I don't need to be faithful in that. Can I tell you something? Which one is bigger, a rat or an elephant? Which one is bigger? But do you know that rats have done more evil in people's houses than elephants? Which one is bigger, a mosquito or an eagle? A mosquito. Mosquitoes have killed thousands of people in Africa, and there's no record that eagles have killed thousands of people. Those small mosquitoes that cause malaria, little thing. They are the little things that destroy. And to say that, well, the mosquito is a little thing, I'm running away from an elephant, I'm not running away from the rat is very small, I'm running away from this big eagle because I don't want it to pluck out my eyes, but I'm not running away from the little mosquito. The mosquito is a little thing. The little things are dangerous, very dangerous. And you know, cockroaches, a cockroach, little thing there, you allow that to crawl on your bed and everything, it will give you disease. That's the reason why we don't say, well, it's a little thing, I'll not be faithful here, I'll not be faithful there. You're going to be faithful in little things too. I said you'll be faithful in little things too. In Luke chapter 16, verse 10, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in that which is least is unjust also in much. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the righteous mammon, who will commit your trust through riches? And if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? You know, there are some people who are servants in their master's work, and then they say, I will not be faithful. He's just making use of me here, and he's building his own mansion, building his wealth, and building his family, and here am I just serving him. I will not do my best. When I become free, and I'm by myself, then I'm going to be very, very faithful and hardworking and industrious. But if you have not been faithful in that what belongs to another man, who will give you that which is your own? What you sow is what you reap. I pray you are going to be faithful. Why is to be yielded? You're faithful. If you're going to be faithful, you'll yield yourself to God. You're not going to resist the Lord anytime or resist the word of God anytime. You're yielded. We're looking at James chapter 4, reading from verse 7. James chapter 4, we're looking at verse 7. Submit yourselves, therefore, to who? To God, and resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Many people don't understand. They say, I want to overcome the devil. I want to overcome the devil. But they're not submissive to God. You remember what the centurion said? The centurion said, I am a man under authority. And I say to this man, go. And he goes. Why does he say to this man, go, and he can't go? Because he's a man under authority. He submits himself. He yields himself. And when the people that are following behind him, when they see that he is submissive to the one above him, they too, they'll be submissive to him. There are other people that are telling others, you don't obey me. You don't listen to me. You don't respect me. Because they watch your life, that you don't respect the people ahead of you. Because they watch your life, you don't obey the people ahead of you. If you don't obey those ahead of you, those who are coming behind you, they will not respect you. But, and if you don't obey God, submit to God, yield yourself to God, then when you say, Satan, get out of that place, Satan will laugh and say, who are you? You are not submissive to God. You are not under authority. You cannot tell this one, go, and he will go. And this one, come, and he will come. It's when you're submissive to God. And then you'll be able to resist the devil. And the devil will have no choice. He'll flee from you in Jesus' name. We've learned today that we need to glorify. Let's come back to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. I'm reading from verse 16 again. Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. Let your light so shine, your light will shine. Let it shine before men. You will not hide your light. That they may see your good works. They will see your good works. You will see my good works. I will see your good works. We shall see one another's good works. And then it says that they may glorify your Father which is in heaven. Your ambition, your goal, your pursuit in this coming year is that people who know you and people who see you, they'll glorify God through your life. Is that possible? Will it happen? It will happen. Let's rise up and talk to the Lord in prayer. Let's tell the Lord, new year is coming, wonderful year, a blessed year, when God is going to pour out his great, great blessing upon your life. And the Lord is saying, all you need to do is allow your light to shine. Open your mouth, tell the Lord, say, I thank you, Lord, for what you have taught me. I thank you for what I have learned. I thank you, Lord, because the light of the gospel, the light of godliness and the light of your grace has come into my life. And the Lord who made the light to shine that day of creation, he has shined in our hearts as well. And now our light can shine. And now our light can shine. Let your light so shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Let your neighbors see it. Let your neighbors know that you are born again. Let your neighbors know that you are a child of God. Let your neighbors know that you are not living by the principle of the word of God. Let your neighbors know that you are now on the highway to the promised land. Child of God, son of God, daughter of God, gracious, gracious son, gracious, gracious daughter. The Lord himself has been good to you. And his grace has been poured upon your life. And he says, now the oil of the Spirit is there. The oil of grace is there. The oil of the goodness of God, of the mercy of God. And salvation is there. Now the light is there. Let that light shine. Don't hold it. Don't limit it. Don't cover it up. Let your light shine. Let your light shine. Let it so shine. Let it so shine. Let it so shine. That men will see. That men will see. Whatever the cost, whatever you have to do, go ahead and do it. You need to see those people. They came out. They confessed. They showed their deeds. and the magical books they were having before they bought everything. And men could see that because they did it before men. And they counted the price of them, 50,000 pieces of silver. They allowed it to go up in flames because they were abomination to the Lord. Do the same thing. Throw away anything that is evil, anything that is ungodly, anything that is sinful. Don't worry about people that will jest, about people that will kind of say something against you. Don't worry about them. Just concentrate and focus on God. Let your light so shine before men that they will see your good works, and then they will glorify your Father who is in heaven. If you want them to glorify your Father who is in heaven, be godly, be loving, be obedient, be renewed, be incorruptible, be faithful, be yielded. And this coming year will give you overflowing blessings, uncountable blessings, abundant blessings, because when people glorify God because of you, God will be so happy, happy with you, pleased with you, that he will give you much, much more than you have ever prayed for. This coming year is going to be a year of great outpouring of blessing upon your life. Just go ahead and let your light shine.